God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening. Welcome into Do Not Keep Silent. My guest is Katie Erickson tonight, if you're just joining us. How you doing, Katie?
Doing great. How you doing, Jason?
Doing awesome. Appreciate you being here. We're going to be talking about the book of Ecclesiastes tonight for this half hour, and this is Do Not Keep Silent. Yeah, don't be a pushover. Again, you can find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Is before we get started here. Again, Katie is my guest tonight, and I wanted to share with you a brand new book, a brand new resource she's released this year in May, right?
Yes.
In May.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Worldview Warriors Publishing. It's called God is Good, Reflections on the Book of Judges. And, well, I just really want to encourage you to go check it out. It's available on paperback and Kindle. And, Katie, you know, if you don't mind, just share a little bit, you know, what's like, how do I put it, like the foundation of the book.
Well, it's basically just looking at the cycle of what happened with the people of Israel, of how they turned away from God, they messed up, they pleaded with God for rescue, and then they turned back to Him. You know, God's chosen people of Israel experienced this same cycle many times throughout the book of Judges, and it's kind of amazing how relatable that is to us today.
Yeah.
So in this book, I kind of just take you through literally the entire book of Judges, mm-hmm. pretty much verse by verse, to just go through all of the life lessons and everything that the people of Israel learned through this time period and just see how those lessons apply to our lives today as followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I really appreciate about this book is it's not just about the people. Katie even took time to like explain things, you know, like what is a shrine? And I think she even talked about
About an ephod.
Yep, and
that was a fun one.
You
and
know, who are the Canaanites, the
yeah,
Amalekites?
Basically all these like, you know, supporting countries, so to speak,
yes,
that like Israel had dealings with. You know, I mean, we may not really know much about who they are, you know, today, because some of these civilizations don't exist.
Right.
Most of them, if they do, we know them by different names today and things like that. So I also take chapters in there to just explain who were these people that Israel was dealing with? And, you know, why do they have these conflicts and all of that? So there's other like supplemental stuff outside of the book of Judges or that's, you know, related
well,
it's
definitely
Judges.
In there.
It's,
but,
yeah, it's related.
What I like about it is if you're paying attention, not you, Katie, but the listener.
Well, I'm paying attention.
Whoever gets it, the reader, if you're paying attention, you can, I mean, I believe you can literally like start weighing things about what's going on today with what happened to them and like kind of put it into place and put it into practice of, oh my goodness, they dealt with it this way, and I'm dealing with pretty much the same thing today, and the way they did it was really stupid, or it was really good. So if you know, okay, they did it the bad way, you need to find a different way to do it. Or, hey, they did it a good way here. You know what, maybe that would work in my circumstance.
Yeah, and there are differences, of course, you know, because Judges
right.
was before Jesus came to this earth. So we are living in a very different time period.
Sure.
You know, and so it's not like, you know, God's chosen people and everyone else as much as like from the nationality standpoint mm-hmm. and all of that kind of thing. So there are definitely differences, but that's what I help kind of go through in the book of, okay, here's what Israel was learning through this. Here's how it applies to us today.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, friends, that's God is Good. It's available on paperback and on Kindle, Reflections on the Book of Judges. Again, released by Worldview Warriors Publishing. You can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, on paperback and Kindle, you can click it and get there, no problem. And yeah, we just appreciate all the support. Not just prayer support, financial support is great too. But with this, you're going to get a great resource, not only for yourself, but again, just so your friends know, this is really a great gift to give to people who are trying to search too.
And it's a nice, like, the chapters are short.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like you have to sit down for like an hour and like, you know, read this stupid long chapter. You know, it's like
right.
the chapters are just a few pages generally. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy for like a devotional reading or, you know, if you have some like a Bible study group or, you know, something like that. It's nice, short, easy to understand chapters.
Right. Absolutely. So, friends, let's get into our program right now. Well, our topic is going to be like summarizing up the book of Ecclesiastes, because Katie has, well, for those of you again just joining, like almost all year she's been writing on the book itself. And it's been, I think, well, let's just ask Katie, what kind of journey has it been for you to be writing on this?
Well, it's been an interesting journey. And, you know, there were times that it was just like, oh, my goodness, why am I doing this? But there's other times, you know, because, I mean, the joke is when somebody asks me about this, I'm like, oh, it was all meaningless, because that's what the teacher keeps saying in Ecclesiastes.
Right.
But it really wasn't. I mean, it was a really good journey to go through, to just to see like this wisdom from the teacher, who we are pretty sure was King Solomon, you know, back in the day.
Right.
And just to see what his wisdom was for that day, and just to look at how that compares with us today, you know, and it's amazing how much of it really still applies, because people are still people. The world is still the world. God is still God. It's amazing how much is actually still the same.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, friends, you're tuned in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Dezurek, your host for the program. And again, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. So let's just dive right in regarding, you know, wrapping up Ecclesiastes.
All right. So we're kind of going to just talk about a summary of the book of Ecclesiastes during this part of the program here. So to start, I had actually introduced this to, you know, basically we need to figure out who's writing this book. You know, when somebody is giving you wisdom, you kind of want to know who they are, right? So Ecclesiastes is written by the teacher, and this person is generally believed to be King Solomon. And now if that is true, then it was very likely written near the end of King Solomon's reign and his life. Now, if you remember, King Solomon had asked God, like God said, hey, if you could have anything you wanted, what would you ask for? And King Solomon said, I want wisdom. And God gave it to him. So King Solomon has all of this wisdom to share. And so that's why this is considered to be its wisdom literature, is its genre in the Bible, similar to like Proverbs or something like that. But it's a little bit more of a narrative form than just Proverbs. It's not like just little sayings. There are a couple chapters that are basically full of Proverbs, but so it is wisdom literature for us. And it is interesting because, you know, when we look at Ecclesiastes 1, as the book starts out, you start reading this book and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so depressing. It's talking about how meaningless life is, you know, and you're just like, why am I reading this? It first looks at nature, how all the natural processes just keep going regardless of what's going on in our lives. So our lives feel pretty meaningless. And then he looks at the chasing of knowledge and wisdom, how that seems meaningless, you know, but in both of these examples, it's important to remember that God created this world and he put us in it to worship and glorify him. That is what gives meaning to our lives, not necessarily, you know, the natural processes or having knowledge. It's giving glory to God is what gives us meaning.
You know, so is it safe to say when this was written, in, if it was Solomon or whoever wrote it, they were probably older?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's made pretty clear from the text.
Okay.
You know, that he's like at the end of his life. Like there's a part later where it talks about like old age and getting old and his wisdom with that. So,
yeah.
He's like, you know, got all this wisdom. I'm old. Let me write it down before I die kind of deal.
So let me ask you, if we have younger listeners tuning in, why would they even want to listen to this program?
Well, because honestly, the younger people, they're who need to hear the wisdom of the old. Because, you know, somebody who's lived a lot of years, odds are they've made a lot of mistakes in their life. Odds are they've learned from those mistakes. So if you're younger and you haven't yet made those mistakes, you might be able to avoid them by listening to and heeding the wisdom of somebody who has already been through that situation.
Absolutely. So let's do that right now.
All right. So back to Ecclesiastes.
Bingo.
So Ecclesiastes 2. That starts out with the teacher's discussion on pleasure in this life. And his emphasis is on how the pleasures of this life are only temporarily enjoyable, but ultimately meaningless when we die. These pleasures will never truly satisfy us. Again, sounds like a really uplifting book, right? So the chapter continues with comparing wisdom to folly, which is very similar to many passages in the book of Proverbs, actually. And the teacher emphasizes that whether we live our lives wisely or foolishly, all of us are going to die. Now, that may sound depressing, but for those of us who believe in Jesus, physical death honestly just brings us that much closer to eternal life with him, if we have made that choice to live out our lives of faith in him. So the chapter concludes with the teacher's thoughts on work and how it too seems pretty meaningless in this life after we die. But work is important because God created us to do it, and our goal should be to glorify God in our work.
Absolutely.
So if Ecclesiastes 3 begins with what we could call a famous passage about there being a time for everything under the sun. There's a, you know, kind of famous song by the Birds back in the 1960s that pretty much like quotes it word for word, you know, a time to live and a time to die and all that good stuff. So we go through rhythms of good and bad times in our lives, and God is there for us through it all. So the teacher shares his perspective on this concept in the next part of the chapter as he discusses where our focus is, discovering our purpose, and how we react to God and what he has done in our lives. And the chapter ends with a discussion on death, a topic we've probably all thought about, but most people don't often want to discuss it.
Right. And I think even with, you know, our society today, people are trying to kind of avoid it.
Yeah. Nobody wants to talk about death. It's just not a happy thing.
Well, and it's not meant to be.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You know, although for the Christian, it is.
Right. And the thing is, though, is, you know, if we don't at sometimes at least think about it and focus in on it, really, everything is meaningless.
It is. Exactly.
And so, it just goes into that wisdom of what the teacher is trying to talk about.
Mm-hmm. So after that depressing note of talking about death, the teacher then begins to discuss ambition and power in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Now, achieving power also is meaningless in this world if that's all we're living for. So we need to check our motivation on why we live the way we live so that we're not living meaningless lives. The teacher then moves on to discussing working together for good purposes and being in leadership roles. We're encouraged in this chapter to work with others for the good of the community rather than to be isolated, and to be a wise leader and to pray for and encourage our leaders.
Absolutely. With that, friends, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. Again, you're tuned in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Zurich, your host for the program. Sitting in with you tonight is our guest, Katie Erickson, and we'll be right back right after this.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
Our theme for Worldview Warriors this year is For Such Time as This. I, for one, will keep teaching my children that we are all made in the image of God and that we should respect everyone as a person. I will also continue to teach my children the importance of living out godly ways in this world. Now, when they choose to sin against God, I teach them to take responsibility for their actions and accept the just and natural causes that come their way. Why? So they will continue to grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything. People of God, we need to stay the course for such a time as this. To dig more into this, find my blog post titled, Stay the Course, Godly Men and Godly Women.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Yeah, if anybody wants to get in on this discussion, you can just message us at Do Not Keep Silent on Facebook. Already received a message there, and I don't know if we have more than one or not, but we'd love to hear from you out there in Radio Land. Again, thanks for being with us here for Do Not Keep Silent. Before we get back to this discussion on Ecclesiastes, just want to remind you again, Saturday, October 17th, we're having a free apologetics conference for those wanting to attend our Here I Stand Apologetics Conference. It's based off of Martin Luther's quote, Here I Stand, I Can Do No Other, So Help Me God, Amen. Friends, this is about encouraging and equipping those in attendance for furthering the kingdom of God. Now, this is going to be held in Findlay, Ohio, at the Center for Christian Ministries. It'll be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Now, tickets are required to attend, so go reserve yours today, worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Click the events tab, it'll take it there as a poster. And as we continue to tell you more about this, I just wanted you to know, well, about who's coming to the conference. We have our speakers. One is Katie Erickson, as you're hearing her tonight.
Yep, you can hear more of me.
Absolutely. And we'll have Steve Reisner. We'll be having Bill Tsang again, who I'm super excited to hear. We also are having Pastor David Odegaard, who's a past blogger as well for the ministry. But we're trying to get him back. I am anyway.
I think that'd be awesome.
That'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Israel Wayne from Family Renewal He'll be joining us as well. Is there anybody else that I've forgotten?
There's this guy named Jason Dzurek who's
going to be
there.
Well, I'll be emceeing. That's not a big deal.
Oh, okay. Well, he's going to be there,
but I appreciate
though.
Oh, I'll be there. And we'll have our resources and things too available. But again, we've also been having people ask us, you know, okay, what's the age that would be good? Look, like 14 years old. I mean, if you have someone who's younger that I would say is, I mean, I'm talking like 12 or 13 that is willing to, you know,
they need to be willing. Yeah. Sit and listen. You know, I mean, if they're not able to like pay attention well and all that, then probably best not to. But, you know, parents judge the character on that.
You know your child better than we do.
And there's definitely no maximum age.
Oh, no. So, and the best part is, at least one of the best parts, I think, and other people have told me, they really like the intergenerational interaction simply because, I mean, the younger then hear from the older, and the older get to hear from the younger, and it's
like we were talking about with wisdom in Ecclesiastes, the older
that.
Share with the younger.
Amazing.
And the other thing that's nice is, you know, we are limited on space, but that's also a good thing because then it's a more intimate venue.
Right.
You know, it's not like you have a speaker up there with a crowd of like 500 people. You know, there's a maximum of 50 people.
Right.
So all of us who are speaking and presenting, I mean, we're hanging out with you for the day. You know, you can talk to us. You can ask us questions.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at the end of my talks, I always love it when people have questions for me. You know, sometimes I have an answer, sometimes I don't, but that's okay. You know, I love being able to have that interaction, you know, because it's not, I don't just want to stand up there and, you know, spew information at you. You know, it's like, yeah, there is a piece of that, but I also like to have the interaction of, you know, wait, what questions do you have so I can, you know, answer things well.
Right. Well, and the really neat thing is with, again, being more intimate is we'll not just get questions from people, but some people might say, you know, have you thought about it this way? And then it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. And we learn too. So we're really looking forward to doing this again. Do you want to remind you too, lunch will be available for that day.
Woohoo!
So that's great. Again, it's free lunch.
Yay.
So free conference, free lunch.
There is such a thing as a free lunch. You just have to show up.
That's right. Saturday,
October 17th. And reserve your ticket.
That's right.
Got to do that.
So reserve your ticket. 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Again, at the Center for Christian Ministries in Findlay, Ohio, the Here I Stand Apologetics Conference. Again, based off of Martin Luther's quote, "Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God, amen." Again, find out information at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And Katie, as we continue to move up to the top of the hour, let's keep talking about the book of Ecclesiastes.
All right, Ecclesiastes 5, working our way through the summary of the book. This begins with a teacher reminding his readers that true purpose and fulfillment are only found in God's presence. Everything outside of fearing God and doing his will really is meaningless. And then the teacher goes back to addressing the meaninglessness of various topics. So he looks at money next, that we need to keep a proper perspective on it, that really it's all from God anyway, so we need to use it as he wants us to. He then addresses the evils of money and how accumulating wealth can be a distraction from what is really important in this life, which again is glorifying God and trusting in him for all our needs. Ecclesiastes 6 continues the discussion on money by addressing our desire for accumulating possessions. You know, we frequently think that having more possessions will make us happier, but the teacher has learned from all of his wisdom and his life experiences that this is not the case. Our attitude toward material wealth is important. Are we content with what God has given us, or are we always wanting more? So the teacher switches gears a bit in Ecclesiastes 7 by starting out the chapter with a selection of proverbs, wise sayings. The chapter then continues by addressing the question of what happens to people who live righteous lives or wicked lives. We all disobey God in our lives, but some people seem to have better or longer lives than others. You know, we're all called to obey God, and it's up to God how he blesses us or not. The teacher wraps up this chapter by looking at how to deal with those who appear to be less wise than us. We may become frustrated in such situations, but God calls us to share the wisdom that he has given us with others. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 begins with instructing us on obeying the authorities that are in power over us. We need to respect our authorities, knowing that all of us will answer to God, who is the ultimate authority, for all of our actions. And the rest of this chapter deals with the idea of injustice in this world. We all struggle with this idea of why the world seems so unfair, but the key is to remember that God is God and we are not, so we cannot understand his ways. Ecclesiastes 9 then first looks at our destiny, both what we will end up doing on this earth and where we will end up when this life is over. As believers in Christ, we know our destiny is ultimately to be with Him. And that is a certainty, unlike all of the uncertainty that we face in this life. We can, and we should, always turn to God in every situation we face in this life, because He is the one certainty that we do have. And that wisdom, we see, is better than physical strength or size. So Ecclesiastes 10 is full of proverbs from the teacher on a variety of topics. And now while these proverbs were written many centuries ago in a different culture, they still have some timeless wisdom that still applies to us today. Ecclesiastes 11 continues with more proverbs, but these are centered around the theme of how to live in the present with not knowing what the future will hold. Again, sound familiar? You know, we're all living in the present, don't know what the future will hold. And the teacher then discusses the idea of growing up and growing old. We should strive to enjoy the days we are given and always be growing in wisdom and maturity. So Ecclesiastes.
Amen to that.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sorry, mm-hmm. I had to just say
right.
something.
Yep, Jason is still with
out
us.
Of my skin.
So Ecclesiastes 12, last chapter, first continues the discussion on old age and how our life should not be meaningless when we look back on it. We then read the teacher's concluding thoughts. So I will leave you with the ultimate summary of this great book from Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. It says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." So fear God, keep His commandments. Everything else is meaningless under the sun.
Amen.
I feel like I should do like a mic drop here, you know?
Oh, this is amazing. Yes, absolutely. And I just want to remind you, friends, when Katie says keep His commands, go read 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Go read that. By the way, if you're wanting to know what are the commandments, go read Exodus 20.
Yeah, there's a pretty good summary of the top 10 right there.
Yeah, right there. So I encourage you to go do it. You know, friends, again, we thank you for tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
Our theme for Worldview Warriors this year is "For Such Time as This." I, for one, will keep teaching my children that we are all made in the image of God and that we should respect everyone as a person. I will also continue to teach my children the importance of living out godly ways in this world. Now, when they choose to sin against God, I teach them to take responsibility for their actions and accept the just and natural causes that come their way. Why? So they will continue to grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything. People of God, we need to stay the course for such a time as this. To dig more into this, find my blog post titled "Stay the Course, Godly Men and Godly Women."
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yes, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I do want you to know, at the site there, you can find our resources that we've been making available more and more. Not just our free resources, but even resources like our brand new books that we're releasing on paperback and Kindle. And Katie actually has 3 books available there right now, and one of them is God is Good. There's 2 others available as well. But we want you to know about a brand new resource that's coming out on August 31st.
It is so brand new, it's not even out yet.
Ooh.
I'm actually holding an advanced copy in my hands.
Yes.
Pretty exciting. So it is called 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible. And it's by Worldview Warriors blogger Charlie Wolcott. He goes by C.A. Wolcott for his pen name.
Yep.
So I'm going to tell you, so some of these things, you know, we hear a lot of, essentially arguments against the Bible. So, like, the Bible is just a collection of myths from Bronze Age goat herders. Or the
drunk
Bible.
Monks.
Yeah, same idea. The Bible has been copied and translated so many times. How can we possibly know what it actually said? Or maybe science has proven the Bible is wrong. Ooh. Or the Bible really isn't the Word of God. Well, the Bible is clearly under attack in our world, and statements and questions like these are being used to undermine the faith of believers and to mock and ridicule them for not being educated enough to stop believing it. Yet, the Bible is actually more trustworthy and dependable than all other works of literature out there combined. Now, the 10 reasons why the Bible is trustworthy and reliable are listed in this book. They can and will equip the reader to be able to handle most of the questions thrown at Scripture and the Christian faith. So again, this is 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible by C.A. Wolcott, put out by Worldview Warriors Publishing. It will be available on August 31st in paperback. And Kindle, we are actually doing a Kindle pre-order starting on August 24th. So that way, if you pre-order it, the day it's released, poof, it'll magically appear on your Kindle.
Woo-hoo.
So you don't even have to worry about it. You'll just be like, hey, look, new book. And then you read it and it'll be awesome. Because it is a really good book. I have read it.
Wonderful.
And it is phenomenal. Charlie does a great job of just explaining everything and giving great evidence for why the Bible is trustworthy. And it's just a really good book. I highly recommend you keep it on your radar.
Yes, absolutely. Do you mind sharing a couple of the chapters that are in there?
Yeah,
I mean, their titles.
Yeah. So he talks about like the construction of the Bible, how it was put together, the revelation of the Bible, what it reveals and how it was revealed to us, the prophecies of the Bible. He talks about opposition against the Bible, how it was preserved, why it's relevant, accuracy, honesty, all sorts of good stuff.
We're looking forward to that again. August 31st, it'll be available. 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible by C.A. Wolcott. Thank you, Charlie, for writing it. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Get out there and make today great, and don't be a pushover.
Made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.